You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Cannabidiol, or CBD for short, it's a minor constituent of marijuana. It doesn't get you high, but there are some who say it will cure what ails you, no matter what ails you. Medical professionals have a slightly different take. CBD is FDA approved for certain uses, and others are being studied, but there's a lot we don't yet know about CBD. Jenny Wilkerson is assistant professor of pharmacodynamics at the University of Florida. She recently wrote about the growing popularity of CBD and what we actually know about it for theconversation.com. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
The title of the article that you wrote for theconversation.com was something along the lines of CBD rising star or passing fad. Let's just jump straight to the punchline. Which is it?
We just don't know yet. There's plenty of science that supports that CBD might have therapeutic indications. Obviously, for intractable pediatric epilepsy, CBD does have clinical validity. However, for all the other claims regarding CBD, we just don't quite know scientifically whether or not it's really going to hold water.
Let's talk about that, the childhood epilepsy issue. CBD is approved by the FDA. I mean, that just came through in June of 2018, fairly recently approved to treat some really severe forms of childhood epilepsy. How did that come about? I mean, how long has that been in the works?
To my knowledge, it's been in the works for quite some time. Initially, clinicians had heard anecdotal information that CBD, that people were willing to try anything to help their children get better from these intractable epilepsies and seizures. And so the company that made Epidiolex, the CBD brand, that the CBD that is FDA approved, realized that there is an overwhelming amount of scientific evidence that, at least in the clinic, that CBD might be helpful for this indication. And so they went through the clinical trials and it became approved last year, as you mentioned.
Do we know how it does that? I mean, it's a pretty amazing drug in that case to be able to cure these seizures that nothing else has worked on.
Yes. So there's been several reports now that indicate that CBD produces its effects through, in at least seizure activity, through serotonin receptors. And so it's interesting because, as I wrote in that article, other types of intractable pediatric epilepsies that are not due to sodium receptor dysregulation, they actually aren't helped at all by CBD. In fact, sometimes they're made worse.
So it seems to be a connection to this serotonin mechanism, which is interesting in and of itself. I mean, Jenny Wilkerson, you study how drugs work in the body, and you say a lot of them work with these receptors, just a protein that kind of grabs the chemical and then does something as a result of that interaction. And CBD is not interacting with the receptors that are actually named for marijuana. They don't interact. It doesn't interact with either of the cannabinoid receptors. It seems to be doing these completely different things. How much do we understand about what CBD does in the body?
So we have a good idea of what CBD does with serotonin receptors for seizure activity. But as far as how CBD works on other receptors in the body, we just don't know yet.
And we should really point out that you mentioned also THC, another chemical that is in marijuana. THC is what gets you high, and CBD doesn't have any of that activity, right? And it's also not considered addictive.
Correct. So there have been several studies in laboratories across the country and around the globe that have shown that CBD does not produce the effects in laboratory settings that are typically associated with drugs that have a high abuse potential, and they do not seem to and CBD does not produce a type of high effect, a psychomimetic effect either.
And in fact, you say that one of the areas that you and many of your colleagues are interested in is figuring out whether CBD could be used, first of all, for pain management that would not be addictive, and possibly even for treating drug addiction. So how would either of those applications work?
So, as CBD has been found to act on serotonin receptors, we know that serotonin receptors are really important for pain processing. And so, because CBD might be able to modulate activity through serotonin receptors as well as receptors yet to be discovered on how CBD acts, we think that it might be a very good therapeutic option for people with chronic pain. And we're not quite sure exactly how CBD might be able to counteract the effects of or counteract addiction and be used as a therapeutic for addiction. Those mechanisms are a little bit more fuzzy, but we have good preclinical evidence that supports that CBD might, and actually some clinical evidence showing that CBD might be useful as a tool for combating drug addiction.
There are also advocates who say CBD or CBD oil, a version that you can often find on the market, could be good for a host of other things, that maybe we should all be taking CBD on a regular basis just as a baseline anti-inflammatory, that it may have anti-cancer properties. How much do we know about any of these other claims about CBD and its potential health benefits, and for that matter, about any potential long-term side effects?
So that is a great point. So that's exactly what most scientists in the field are concerned about. There's a lot of hype over the CBD products that stems from the thought that it might be the next cure-all for so very many hard-to-manage issues that so many people deal with. However, we just don't know enough exactly about how CBD works with the serotonin receptor, and because different physiological outcomes, such as regulation of sleep and mood, anxiety, and pain, are regulated through complex actions, we just don't know enough to make strong predictions of exactly how well CBD will produce a therapeutic effect in those outcomes. And further, as far as the side effects, to my knowledge, no studies have really been done to look at the long-term effects of using CBD.
What do you think is driving the interest both in the research community and more broadly in CBD at this point? Why has it become such a hot topic now? Is it related to the opioid epidemic, or is there something else?
So it's definitely the opioid epidemic is definitely spurring a lot of interest into CBD. And because, as we mentioned, because CBD does not get people high, and the fact that it might be a good therapeutic option for treating opioid addiction, a lot of research is interested into potentially developing CBD as a kind of double shot for treating chronic pain and potentially reducing the needs for opioids and opioid addiction.
How does the interest in CBD, this one chemical component of marijuana that can be separated out and used medically, potentially, relate to the rise also of legalized medical marijuana? I mean, obviously, if you're smoking marijuana, you're also getting the THC, you're also getting a whole lot of other chemicals that are not just the CBD. So what's kind of the overlap in the thoughts on that from the medical community?
So, marijuana contains over 100 different compounds. We only really know a little bit about, we know the most about THC, the component of marijuana that's going to get you high, and then CBD. And so, other than that, that leaves so many other chemical compounds that we just don't know that much about on how they work. So really, it's actually a very exciting time to work in cannabinoids because there's so many interesting questions that can be asked.
And what is the oversight when it comes specifically to CBD and this, as I mentioned, CBD oil that you can find in stores? What's the oversight on that?
So because hemp-derived CBD is not regulated by the FDA, there is no oversight into the manufacturing process of CBD in all the over-the-counter products. So there's no real oversight.
Jenny Wilkerson, you've mentioned the intense interest in the medical community in learning more about CBD, but even without barriers to research, it takes years to really work your way from a lab all the way through to clinical trials of a potential treatment. For people who have sought out CBD because nothing else seemed to work and really are looking for something right now and say, CBD works for me. It's been helping me. What do you say to those people?
For anyone that's currently using CBD and it's working for you, all I have to say is that's great. I'm very happy that you found something that you think is working. However, because the over-the-counter forms of CBD is not regulated, there's no real way to know exactly what you're spending your money on. And so there's been a lot of consumer reports that show that the actual amount of CBD that is in all these over-the-counter projects is significantly less than what is reported on the label. And then also some of these over-the-counter products contain enough THC to show up on drug tests. And so therefore using CBD that is out there for a serious medical condition is going to be tough because you don't really know exactly how much and exactly what you are getting. And so for anyone that's using CBD and they think they might be getting an effect, but they don't really know if it's really worth their money, if you don't see an effect with CBD, it could be that you aren't getting the correct dose, or it could be that CBD just simply isn't going to work for whatever is going on with you. Additionally, in the future, if CBD is developed as a therapeutic for a given condition, which is what we're hopeful for, if someone has already tried an over-the-counter CBD product that it didn't work, a person might be less likely to use CBD where it actually could work for them. Another concern that I have for so many patients and so many people that are using CBD, CBD could diminish or enhance the effects of your prescriptions, leading to problems controlling particular medical conditions that were once well managed, or potentially increasing side effects from these other medications. For these points, it's really important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about potential drug interactions with other drugs before continuing on further with CBD.
Jenny Wilkerson, as a researcher on how drugs work in the body, there are a lot of drugs you could choose to study. What drew you to looking actually at CBD?
Part of the reason why the pediatric intractable epilepsy is such an important thing for me is so actually one of my best friends from back home, her daughter had pediatric intractable epilepsy, and she actually just passed 2 weeks ago from the disease.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so that's why I put in that piece about sodium channelopathies versus potassium channelopathies. So my friend's daughter actually had a potassium channelopathy. So my friend tried CBD oil for her child, and it didn't work. Mm. To give a little bit more of a shout out to the research community that I'm involved with. So I first heard about the effects of CBD for pediatric intractable epilepsy at an International Cannabinoid Research Society meeting. And at this meeting, I heard a physician in California talk about how they were treating pediatric patients that had seizure activity that had been previously uncontrolled that became controlled with use of combinations of THC and CBD. And so that really led me to put CBD in the spotlight for the potential use with my own friend.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Jenny Wilkerson is an assistant professor at the University of Florida. She recently wrote about the growing popularity of CBD, what we know about it, and where research efforts stand. She wrote that for theconversation.com. Jenny, thanks so much.
Thank you.